Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, hello there. Welcome back. This is episode 17 of Falling Forward with Dan Lasak. That's me, there, that voice, this one, is my voice. This isn't my voice, although it is my voice, to be confusing, but this is the voice I talk with. This voice is how I order curry. I would like a Dan Sack, please. That's a phrase I've heard too many times in my life. Anyway, this week we have a lovely chat with Look Mum No Computer, a musician and builder of wonderful things. I went down to his Imaginarium on the Kent coast. I don't think he calls it an Imaginarium, but you know, we might as well start calling it that. And we sat down for a couple of hours and just nattered away about why. Why would you build a Furby organ? Why would you apply flamethrowers to all of your musical equipment? And genuinely, it was a really nice chat. So nice, in fact, that it's ended up being a two-parter. But instead of me putting them out a week apart, they're just going to come out on the same day. The second part, probably around lunch. So if you're listening to this on your way to work, hopefully you'll be able to listen to part two on your way home. You're going to hear a lot more about Sam's mysterious mind shortly, but jump over to lookmumnocomputer.com if you want to check out his work, his YouTube channel, links there, his Patreon links there. Also, I took a few photos on the day on my phone with the modern technology in my pocket, and they'll be on my Patreon, but I'll make that post public. I won't put that one behind a paywall. So patreon.com/Dan Lasak, and you can have a look at those as well. And while you're there, hopefully you might feel guilty enough to support the podcast by becoming a Patreon. How do you feel about that? That was a good link. That was pretty skilled. If we're going to talk about value extraction for a second as well, you might as well hit subscribe on this podcast because it's delightful. And maybe jump over to danlasak.bandcamp.com to download some free music. Who said I wasn't a generous human being? Anyway, we should get on with it. Like I say, part two will be up in a few hours. It might already be up. You could be listening to this in the future from me. So I'll get out of your way and you can enjoy our chat.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I just drank the whole bottle of cordial.
We missed gold there.
Yeah.
There was a rapper who we were on the same label as in America called B. Dolan. And he used to come and, basically my girlfriend at the time and I, he would just come and live with us for a few months when he was touring and stuff. And I remember walking into our kitchen once and he's like over the sink, like pouring water into his own face and all that, and he's like, what is that? That's gross. And he just necked lime cordial. Straight. And I was like, oh yeah, no, you mix it with water.
Oh, I thought you meant he was mixing it in his mouth.
No. He's not a child.
Oh, come on.
I used to love mixing all food in my mouth as a kid. Croutons with soup, but the crouton in your mouth first, it keeps it crunchy. I don't think I've ever done that, but right, you talk.
Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little loud at times.
You're
but
this one. Okay, I'm going to turn. That's number two. Listeners, we're just getting the levels.
Are you turning me down? Am I too loud?
I don't know. I think I just turned you up.
I'm trying to keep my distance a little bit, but
I don't think it matters. This is actually, like, relatively quiet in here.
Reasonably dead as well. Toot. Oh, there is a bit.
Oh, it's only gentle, though.
Yeah, I know. Look at all of these high-cost, you know, sound dampeners around. Actually, it is probably quite an expensive means of sound dampening.
So what is this space? So the listeners can vaguely understand what room we're sitting in.
Oh, we're currently sitting in my studio / workshop thing, I think.
Sturkshop,
I like it. Or workdio.
Workdio? Woodio.
Woodio sounds good.
I would have thought RZA and all that have got that copyrighted. Woodio.
The Woodio. But yeah, like, and it's just my means of insulation for sound is tinfoil bubble wrap on the ceilings. And
works. It
kind of looks a bit dodgy, doesn't it? It kind of, you know, looks like one of those, what are those things where they grow that plant that's not great
for yes.
and stuff?
Yes.
Like the bit in the top, it just is completely covered in this bubble wrap tinfoil stuff.
It's like an oregano factory.
Yeah, the oregano factory. But yeah, and it's not for that. I just got given a load of this bubble wrap stuff in the winter and I was like, it's way too cold because just above it is just a
roof.
It's just a metal roof.
Which conducts the heat away from you rather than keeping
and then in
any
the summer,
heat in.
And then in the summer, it does the opposite.
Yeah.
And it's like a greenhouse. Last time I got a warning from like a temp, like I got this CCTV thing up there. It was like, warning, you have reached 40 degrees Celsius in this room. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty sizzling sitting in my boxer shorts.
That's nice that it tells you though.
Yeah,
like it gives you a little warming
warning.
Yeah. So but like as we look around, we've got like ancient test equipment, things called synthesizers.
Indeed.
The Furby organ, which we might talk about.
Yeah.
A wall of Game Boys that have been split in two and penetrated by circuits and shenanigans.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got some stuff.
I have got some stuff.
You've, you have lived in, like, guardianship programs and stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's my biggest fear of when I was living in guardianships was probably having to move.
Having to move,
because everybody else has just got, like, you know, a bed and not even a bed, just, like, mattress and a big bag of clothes and stuff.
Like, how do you, because that's a decision, though, to live cheaply. But is it also a decision that allows you to collect and build the things you do?
Yeah.
Like, having a, like, guardianships, listeners, are basically when a company doesn't want to hire security for a building that's going to be empty for a long time, whether it be a school. You lived in a school, didn't you?
I did at one point,
Like office blocks and all that. And they just get oiks and younglings to live there. I think you fit oik.
Yeah, and even Oldens.
Oldens as well, yeah. But it seems to be, there's a lot of musicians, especially in London, who end up in that.
Yeah.
The first video me and Scroobius did was a group of people living in a guardianship.
Oh, really? Thing.
That's why we only paid them £200.
And it was only because, you know, that you knew that that money would go far with them.
Yes, yes. It wasn't anything bad. But how do you find it having, like, a proper dedicated space to go to now? Rather than somewhere you're living in and, like, coming to this...
Well, it's weird. Like, before, when I was in the school, which was the guardianship... No, it wasn't the guardianship before this one. It was the school I lived in, a classroom.
Mm.
I was lucky enough to have a large amount of space, but with a large amount of space, you're like a goldfish. You kind of get more stuff, and it's dangerous. And I lived with my girlfriend in that room, and I was building the Furby organ. Funny, it's like one night about 2 o'clock, no reason, one of them started buzzing and going crazy. I can only put it down to some undischarged capacitors or something. I really don't know. It was pretty creepy.
Or ghosts.
All ghosts.
You should have thought
Let's
ghosts.
Just not put that out of the question now.
It was a school as well, so a ghost child walking in would have looked at a
It
Furby.
Wasn't children. It was the immigration the immigration test? Or the
okay. Test well, for well, people from out. Other countries can enjoy Furbies too.
And ghosts.
Especially ghosts of those foreign people. Ghosts are allowed to enjoy Furbies.
Yeah, exactly.
At the moment. I think after Brexit, they're not. That's the first thing. I remember it was like before control borders and stuff, it was take Furbies away from brown people. If I remember rightly, that's what they campaigned
for. Well, and the other, like, I mean, yeah, passport control on ghosts is gonna come down hard.
It's gonna be difficult, yeah.
It's gonna be tough.
Well, they've already had trouble with the vampires because you can't take photos of them. You know, it's such a nightmare.
Pain in the bum for vampires. Yeah,
it's a nightmare.
But like so like where were we? We were talking about.
It doesn't matter. We're talking about what's it like just to have a dedicated space to make your madness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, it's pretty good saying that. I mean, we moved, found out we had to move, and within, like, 30 days, I had to get busting and moving, and it took about 2 days to get all the stuff packed and stuff.
Yeah, because there is a lot in here.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've taken a lot of time to build up a lot of things that maybe people would have given up on. Is that... Does that come from, the Mighty Boosh quest for a new sound? Type thing. I did a wiggle of my head there.
Oh, yeah.
Or is that the kind of fascination with how things work?
I think it's the fascination of how things work, definitely.
Yeah.
Because you can't really get, like, massively new sounds. I mean, no. Because it's more about, like, a change of technique, maybe, because you probably can get these sounds with computers, as you probably know. It's just a change in technique and format. Yeah. And these kind of help that, but it's a really good excuse to... I mean, ever since I was young, I just love taking things apart and building things, so... Now that they make music, it's like mixing up, not feeling guilty about spending a lot of time on your hobby because it's part of your job, because it's part of music now, so it's okay.
But what do you consider yourself first? Do you think of yourself as a musician first or a builder first?
It's probably a musician because that's probably like, you know, just songwriting sessions and that stuff.
Mm.
That's what I kind of do. And then this is like a big hobby that takes up most of my time.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe not. I don't know. It's like people ask, like, what do you do? It's very difficult. It's really
like,
difficult.
I can't answer it when a taxi driver asks me. Because it's like, well, I'm a musician. It's like, all right, what band are you in? It's like, well, we've got a shit name. What do you play? It's like, an NPC.
Yeah.
They don't know what that is. I actually have this conversation with people about modular gear. I'm pointing behind me, listeners. You can't see that.
Oh, yeah.
But that wall behind me is Sam's... Would you rather be Sam or...
Sam's fine Lucky. With me. Lucky.
No compo.
Lucky mum, no-no.
Lucky mum, no-no. wall of modular synths. But I can't... I still haven't found an analogy for someone to explain what a modular synth is. Because it's like, okay, well, imagine like IKEA and you're buying all your different bits of furniture to put together in your kitchen. It's like, well, they're all modular things. That makes sense. But the bit it leaves out is the fact that when you open the cabinet door, that changes the temperature of the oven.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is the bit that people...
That's pretty good. That's a good analogy.
It's all right, but it's still not quite...
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah. How do you make music with an oven?
Yeah,
exactly. Actually, that's a good challenge.
Ooh. Well, you've got it now. You've done some work with fire as well.
And actually, talking about it, no, I did with the microwave. I made a drum thing. It's like I took the transformer out and so it made a Jacob's ladder with about 1,000 volts, so it wraps it up and then plugged that into a drum pad. So like, pew, pew, pew. That was a couple of years ago, and then it smoked out the whole school, and people had to, all of us guardians had to get out for the fire alarm. You know,
it's nice that when your music making ruins other people's lives.
Oh yeah,
rather than your own. Musician first, but obviously you're creating things that no one else can have. Like, there's no one else can have a Furby organ. Listeners, a Furby organ. See, we're going to have to do this a lot this time. You know, last time we were talking about pictures. You know what pictures are. This is more complex.
Yeah, it is.
A Furby organ. How many? We're looking at it right now. There's what? How many of them?
I did the maths wrong, actually, in the video. I think, and I've got to remember which ones are right. Like, I'm really bad at maths, but it was not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. 8 times 5.
So there's 40 Furbies.
No, 9 times 5.
Times 5.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's 35 Furbies.
45.
There's between 35 and 45 Furbies.
5 times 9. 45. Yeah.
In a kind of vintage organ case.
Yeah.
But when you play the keys, they all make a sound. You can make them sing together.
Yeah. Each key is a Furby.
But no one else can have that.
Well, you know, I just built all of these because, you know, I get a kick from being elitist. No.
True exclusivity.
It really is. You've got to build it yourself and not sell them.
But, like, where's the drive there for you to create that? Was that just because you'd had the idea for years and wanted to do it? Was it the...
Oh, God, that is really tough. Like that one, I think there was just, I had it in my head, and I always moan about people who have ideas and never act upon them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've just become that person. And then out of the sheer hate of the fact that, the sheer feeling that I'm like, oh no, this feeling inside that I've just become what I don't want to be. And so I had to do it.
Yeah.
I had to get it done. It wasn't very pleasant. It was like 2 months long, and it was just, it was rather, grueling.
Because you build a lot of this stuff on YouTube, for YouTube, does the audience sometimes affect what you make?
Yeah.
Like, do you wake up and think, I've got this idea, but no one wants to see me make that?
Yeah, I think so. But I find it quite lucky that what I do want to make is quite...
People are excited by it.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever sat down and gone, right, what do I want to make to get, like, views? But it's slightly slanted. It slants it a little bit and kind of adjusts the idea a bit. But inevitably, I just feel quite lucky that my urge to do it is also slightly entertaining in its process.
Mm.
So, you know.
it's kind of... YouTube's a weird place anyway, because people talk about YouTube in terms of YouTube as this whole, but it's really not. It's like lots of little communities.
There is,
you know,
strong niches.
Yeah, everywhere. So because like through you, I found Simon the Magpie and Heimbach.
And I'm the Magpie.
And the Magpie.
Hi, I'm Heimbach. Good to have you back.
He's so gentle.
I know.
I've talked about him before on the podcast, just briefly, and when I was talking about him, my voice went. And then there's Heimbach making ambient loop tapes and all this. And my voice just naturally went softer. And I was
imagine
like,
him just stroking your head to sleep.
Yes. Yeah, just calmly.
Heimbach. God. No.
But
it's so funny.
Is there competition there? Do you get that competitive spirit?
Oh, it's tough. I'm rather competitive as a person. I'm always competitive. Like my friend musicians and stuff, we're always quite competitive. It's like, we're blood, you know, like you're just trying to outdo each other all the time. But YouTube's kind of different because I think it was how to do it. Because the thing, if you do it the same as somebody else, then it's like it's already out there and stuff. So it's not really a I feel like driven to keep on going by all of these other people, like A Big Guy I really like and a lot of other things. To do something, but just different. And
One thing I find fascinating on YouTube is how that you're actually allowed to take somebody else's idea if you admit you're taking that idea and want to take it somewhere new.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a musician and you woke up and went, yeah, I'm just going to rip off Skrillex today. But when you released the song, you went, yeah, I was ripping off Skrillex and this is what came out. People are going to fall on you. But that's on funny, YouTube, that. It's a bit more, as long as you're paying credit.
Yeah, paying a bit of credit and sending it over to other people. Like, I'm trying to think of what I've done like that. If I've done any. I'm trying to remember. Me and Simon the Magpie it's funny, like, we've done some idea. I did an idea that's like, and then all the comments were like, Simon did this. And I look through it, it's like, oh yeah, so he did. All of those, but then.
But like, you can't keep up with Simon because he does a video every four and a half minutes.
I know, it's mad. Seems. He's had so many of them. And there was this, walkie-talkie one that I did. And then there was another one, fidget spinner machine. And I was in the queue at the post office to post some T-shirts or something.
Yeah.
I posted a pile of T-shirts and I picked up a fidget spinner. I was making it, shot the video, I was editing it. He put up a video about fidget spinners and pretty much, it was a slightly different mechanism. I was like, oh, damn, this is awkward. But, you know, I was about, like, 2 hours after him in the upload. It was just funny with it. Yeah, with the different ideas and stuff. But, like, a hive mind is always... But that happens, but I find that happens in music, but in a slower progression. Like, for instance, you know, you write a song, and then sometimes the song wouldn't be ended and released within maybe from a 6 month to a year and a half period. Like,
yeah, well, I've talked about it previously where there's a compilation that came out really early in the 2000s and it was called Grime.
Yeah,
I think it was on Planet Mew, but it wasn't grime. It was like the bit between two-step and dubstep. It was like the formative, but that record got handed around people and was the one that a lot of people say, well, that's what got me making dubstep.
Yeah.
And that's before Scream, that's all that. But it took like 8 years for dubstep to go from that compilation to being in a Britney Spears song.
When was it in a Britney Spears song? Oh my God.
There's a 2011 one. I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, she just uses this proper dubstep wubby while it was still a bit analog feely rather than the digitally ones. But yeah, it was like a proper dubstep bassline and all that. But like, that's how music works. Like, it takes that amount of time to just bubble through, or bubble up, I suppose.
To become. And the pop. Other thing I always find is, it's happened to me a couple of times actually with writing sessions for other people, is like, all of the other songs that come out at that time are usually written at a similar point of past, and then you have a similar sort of influence that's been subliminally getting you, and then you find out you've written a song and suddenly nothing's like it before, and then suddenly boom, that theme is
everybody's doing it.
Like the ridiculously amount of like nostalgia based pop songs at the minute. It's like there was like I Want to Go Back to 2002, and then Charlie XCX, there was 1999. And I wrote a song with a guy called Barnes Courtney. It was called 1999. It's done pretty well in America and stuff. And it was like, it just came out like a week before Charlie XCX's 1999 came out. And I know Prince did it 20 years ago, but it's weird.
I've heard of this Prince guy. Who's that? Popular dude. The short guy.
Was he short? Or did he just have big instruments?
Holes in his floor.
Oh, yeah.
That was it, yeah. He only ever could walk in a groove.
Yeah.
It was because you couldn't control him, so you needed to be in, like, a human scale electrics track to get him to go from point A to point
B. Imagine that. There is one in Disneyland, isn't there?
I don't know. I've never been to the Disneys.
I haven't either. I couldn't stand it, I don't think.
I did go to a Euro Disney, which is near Paris, I think. But that was 20 years ago.
School, was it?
No, I was fortunate enough for a very brief time to date a millionaire.
Wow.
Very briefly.
Not many people get to do that.
No, I don't think many do. And I've never done it since. And she lived not far from the guy who owned Butterkiss Popcorn. He didn't just own a bag of popcorn. He owned the company. But yeah. I ruined that relationship.
Do you look back and be like, I could have been drinking martinis on the beachside?
Do you know what? No.
Okay.
I look back and think, yeah, I could have handled that better. The grown-up part of me is like, I could have been more honest to her and not broken her heart. But, you know, there's a bit of contemplation there, listeners. We've started in a weird way, actually. Usually I would try to guide the first bit and then let it go, whereas we've just gone, we're going to bounce from thing to thing to thing to thing. Do you find yourself doing that? Do you have to force yourself into a project? Like, you're working on the Game Boys, the Mega Machine, at the moment, and that's a long-term project.
It's a fucking long one.
But does giving yourself those longer projects make it easier?
I don't know. I think, like, at school, I'd realised it. It was like, you know, when you work out what your brain is shit at and what it's good at. Mm. I found that, like, if I trick my brain into being obsessed, then I could build or get these good things done. Like, I don't know, I failed chemistry and then I did really well at it because I got obsessed with it. And I found that, and then I tried to trick myself, and then that's how I can't think of anything else but those. But it was about tricking myself into getting into it in the first place.
Yeah.
And then my procrastination is now doing that.
But what you're building there is a huge challenge as well. So you're building a synthesizer, essentially, out of...
A lot of Game Boys.
8x8. Whatever 8 times 8...
64
Game Boys. But you're having to make them communicate with each other so they play in time. Not playing time rhythmically, like they literally have to sync together so you can play multiple notes at once.
Yeah. It's so weird.
It is weird, but like you're having to learn a huge amount.
Yeah, massively. It's just a good opportunity to learn, which is the funnest thing I think to ever do is learn, really.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
But it's... I don't know, it's just, I find it really interesting that you would set yourself something that is clearly a massive challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And it's also questionably pointless, but I wouldn't know. I don't know what the outcome is.
Mm.
And that's another thing, is like, I don't know what the outcome is. I just want to see what happens. I mean, it might be crap. You just don't know. It's just, you've got to build it.
I've watched some of the vlogs so far and it doesn't sound crap.
No. I don't know why I kind of sat down to do this. It is the biggest thing I've done. Furby Organ is not really comparable with this. That one's like a very simple thing, but it looks big and fancy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a load of wires, but... and that one's probably a more... garnering attention kind of thing, that's a better idea, because this one's just more techie and less people will be interested in the long process, but I just can't help but do it. And I was like, the idea of like sitting back and, you know, like you're going to die or something, you're like, oh, I didn't do that Game Boy Mega Machine. You know, it kind of drives me to want to do it.
Yeah, I'm more worried about dying than leaving too many fish cakes in my freezer.
Oh.
I want to make sure I just want to get the timing right of it, so I know I'm dying next week. Okay, so let's defrost the haddock.
Yes.
Let's get that done.
Let's get that done, eaten, so...
I don't want to waste it.
You can't waste it. Yeah.
I'll be in hospital sending someone home, make me fish cakes. I like fish cakes. Out of all of those builds, so like I wrote down a few.
Well, you got a list. I'm not going to peek.
Synth darts. The fidget spinner, module.
Yeah,
the modular, the 100 oscillator mega drone.
Mm-hmm.
Bike synths. You've got 4 bike synths now. Three.
Yeah, actually, funnily enough, one's turning up today from Stockholm. I'm getting it back. God knows what it's going to be like. What it looks like now.
Why was it in Stockholm?
Well, I actually built. Which one was it? Synth bike 3.
Synthy of the synths.
Yeah. But it wasn't portable because it was built initially for an art exhibition in Dublin.
Mm.
Dublin. I can't help myself. I was hanging out with my Irish
people. Why did you do that in a Jamaican accent?
Hey, that's my Irish accent, goddammit. You know, get to the Dublin chopper. That's awful. I'm really good at it. I can't do... When you're on... I know, it was the most blandest, rubbishest Dublin accent. I've been doing it all weekend and... They did say it was bad.
I refuse because I just end up sounding like I am a racist. I can't help it every time. every single sound.
But how come I can't? Maybe I can't do. It's weird, like doing impressions. Am I allowed to do a Dublin accent impression? I don't know.
A friend of mine was working on something. I don't know if I can say what it is, but the character he was having to write for is African. He's a very African accent.
Yeah, yeah.
And but he's very, very white.
Yeah.
And when he writes dialogue, he says it out loud.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend was just saying, he sounds so racist.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's like a Jim Davidson sketch.
Uh-huh.
But he's like writing really serious dialogue. Yeah, but yeah. He just, makes me happy to know there's white guys just in rooms being racist accidentally.
Is it accidental?
It's better than doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Well, did I just do it on purpose? That's the question.
Maybe.
Maybe I did.
Maybe you hate the Irish.
I don't hate Irish. I'm like a parrot. I copy what I hear and see, which is so tough. Because, like, I mean, when does the point change? Because cartoon actors, a lot of them work on accents and they usually get it quite wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, is it the actor's fault for not being able to do it? Or is it whoever decides to leave it in's fault?
Or
that'll do.
Is it the person who's budgeting it that's cutting
for not paying for a proper damn actor?
Yeah. Maybe it's that.
Or is it capitalism? Is it capitalism's fault?
Oh man, I think it's those ghosts again.
Or is it just our fault for being too paranoid about accidentally, you know?
Yeah.
Doing something wrong. You know, we should be allowed to make mistakes and then go, oh, actually, no, that was a mistake. Sorry, guys. That's my general position in life.
Paranoia is quite, you know, you just don't want to step wrong.
Well, I suppose you're like online. Mm-hmm. Your job is online. Like a big part of your living comes from that persona, that person online.
Yeah.
Do you ever get paranoid that you're going to fuck it up in some way? You're going to say a thing or do a thing
Everybody messes it up sometimes, don't they? Like, I don't know. I've been lucky. Like, there was my friend, the same guy that I did that 1999 song, he did Sunday Brunch the other day.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to play on the back, and I sat and watched him, like, say something weird. And then he's stepping back from it. To quote him, I think it was like, what was it? It was like, "This tastes like homeless people's eyebrows. Not that there's anything wrong with homeless people and the taste of their eyebrows now." live on. And, you know, stepping back, trying to climb out of the hole that he just quickly dug. And I'm like, oh, man.
There's a Stuart Lee sketch about Hammond from Top Gear.
Yeah.
I can't remember his first name.
Richard.
Richard Hammond. Richard Hamster Hammond.
Yeah.
And talking about him sitting next to Clarkson doing this interview while Clarkson's being an arsehole about Gordon Brown.
Okay.
Like mocking, because Gordon Brown is blind in one eye.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's that singer that's blind in one eye and wears the glasses?
Gabriel. Yeah, well done,
totally
guys.
Different
people. We got there. Well, I've never seen him in the same room.
Oh, God.
So if I ever meet Gordon Brown, I'm asking him to sing Walk On By.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's like, Gordon Brown's been blind since a kid. He was a kid as well. It's like, I don't know, I'm not one for mocking people's, you know. Bear in mind, he overcame that to become the Prime Minister of a country. I feel like he's done well.
Yeah.
You know, whether you like him or not, he's done all right. And you can see little Hamster Hammond next to him laughing along because he's like the kid who hangs around with the bully.
Yeah, yeah.
Yet at the same time, every now and again, like trying to look disapproving. So he's like, But yeah, people having to walk shit back on behalf of other humans is even worse. Is that a DAP machine over there?
Which one? No, I don't think there is a DAP machine. I haven't got one, sadly. I don't need a DAP machine.
I don't need one. It's actually quite awkward in this room because there's just so much to see.
Yeah, so much crap.
Do you get that sensory overload with what you do?
Like
you can make music on the fly with your modular stuff, but it's a wall of knobs. Does it Is there an intimidation there? Is there, like, too much distraction sometimes?
I don't know. I think it's quite limiting and easy to make because I'm primarily write, like, songs just as I, you know, nursery rhyme kind of thing. Lyrics and guitar and whatnot. I'm usually quite a pop guy. I like pop. And then this is a very limited way of making it, I find. It's just like a big MIDI machine that I find.
Actually, you make electronic music is what Look No Mum computer.
She's long gone.
Look Mum, no computer makes. That's what you're known for alongside the huge, insane builds. But your musical tastes are very different to
that. Yeah, to what most people who build this usually have. And I get a lot of hate for that.
You've talked about Queen before now.
Did I?
You've talked about Queen.
Oh.
Well, you talked about Queen in the context of how their first album's amazing and their fifth album is amazing, but in very different ways. The fifth album's when they've had money and time and they can do whatever they want, whereas the first album's the raw.
When did I say this? I can't remember that.
It'll be an interview with you rather than on your own channel.
You're going to bring up some things that I don't even remember. And
it's called research.
wow. Should probably double check.
You've talked about that. You've talked about Elvis Costello. You've talked about metal. How is it to love something so different to the thing you make?
It's like I've never really picked up all the synth stuff until I was probably after my, you know, the years of musical taste and growth kind of sets in and stays there. And then you, for some reason, just cannot get out of that.
Yeah.
But and then I pick up synths and stuff. And because initially I loved the sound. I got the MS-10 first and I loved the sound of it because it sounded like, well, it didn't sound like electronic music that I heard. It was like a more of a guitar-y kind of sound. Just the kind of things that I liked of a guitar, but in a synth. Like a simple, the simplicities.
So the MS-10 is Korg, noisy, aggressive, but it's really simple. It's super complex. Like it's got holes in the front. You can put cables in it,
and that's kind of like what started the problem. Started the problem because then I was building modules for that.
Because you bought that broken, repaired it, so that was like part of it as well. The building, I suppose. Yeah.
Sadly, I don't have that one anymore. I actually gave it to. Oh, what's his name? It was before the guy. There was a guy before he was in O Wonder. There was a band called O Wonder, do you know them? And where I gave it to Ant West.
I want to say yes, but
There's a guy that I gave it to finish one of my demos for an old band, that was payment. And then I was like, oh no.
You paid in synth.
I paid in synth. Yeah. My pride and joy synth, and I was skint, so I had to give him my synth.
My first synth was a Roland SH-101 that I. Air quotes, borrowed from my college I was at. It was the only synth I had and I borrowed it. And I must have had it like a year.
Oh, did they ever ask back?
Yeah. I was out though, thankfully. So, like my mum, I was still living at home then. So I was like 17, 18. My mum had to go into my room and climb over. Just at that point, it was just guitar amps and cables and shenanigans and to find this synth with a very overweight classical music teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, did I never give, did I not give that back?
The SH-101, it's pretty funky. It's good. Did you like it?
Yes, I love monosynths to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
I find it really funny because I don't have a vast amount of kit. I do have some. But I realised the other day that I don't really have anything that isn't mono. I've got a couple of synths that aren't that are polyphonic, but everything's a monosynth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I don't know why I like. Maybe I've never been that ambidextrous. I'm not like a great player of instrument.
Yeah, left-handed.
Left-handed. Yeah, we're both lefties. We're the only two left.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like monosynths were always the thing that I got excited by.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the Dan and Pip stuff is, the first album would have been an MS-20 VST. Mm. Most of the synths on the first album.
Oh yeah, that VST. That was a good VST.
And then
I like that.
When we started earning, I bought a proper MS-20 off eBay. Off an old couple who were selling it on eBay, and they wanted to talk to me before I could pay for it.
Why?
Well, they wanted to know that it was going to someone nice.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
It was like a lovely conversation and stuff, like good 20 minutes, and they obviously cared for it, but I still couldn't connect with why. Turns out it was their dead sons. And it was like, there was this bit right at the end where she said, I'm glad it's coming to a good home. He did love it dearly. Da, da, da. And then I felt guilty. Yeah. I felt like bad about, even though I was paying fairly, I wasn't robbing them or anything.
Yeah.
But it was just this sudden like, oh my God, the responsibility of this synthesizer now. I have to put the whole next album, didn't touch it. I was intimidated by the ghost of the someone's ghost dead son.
Yeah. Oh, grim.
I've still got that.
That's good.
A Cine flight case. Not the correct flight case, just in a flight case.
Oh, is it like wobbling around in it?
Yeah, just on top of a wardrobe. you can stay there. You're my insurance. But that was before they released the miniature ones and all that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Are they going? I don't know what the value of a light MS-20 is. Actually, I tell you what. I bought one about a month ago. No, 2 months ago for £400.
That's a bargain.
On eBay.
That's a bargain. That's
mad. Like, nobody else bidded on it. And it was spelt fine. Mad.
Weird. I think maybe musicians have gone over to things like reverb.com and stuff.
Maybe. Let's not lock. Get everybody back on eBay, please. No, I'm joking.
E-what?
E-what, yeah.
I've never heard of it. Never heard of that website.
Get a bit hooked on it. And like, there's this thing called Bid Sniper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you know that? And the process of elimination, I do maybe too many are set up. I mean, I don't win most of them. Too low. Like, usually they're all a bit too low that they shouldn't go for that.
Yeah.
Oh, where is it? I've got this thing. I got this for £3.20.
What even is it?
It's like a, I don't know. No, it's a printer. I'm still trying to find something useful for it, but it like prints
electrical
seismograph kind of thing. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But like signals. So like you could send a signal from your modular into it and it would print that signal.
It doesn't work fully right now, but you know, it's on the list of many men's.
It's really hard to explain what we're seeing, because you've got like all this old scientific test equipment, like things that were designed to just send a perfect signal to a thing, like a control signal or whatever. But it's that printer is obviously there to receive something and tell a science guy like, oh, okay, this is what's happening in this magical science thing. And you've got them to look pretty and eventually to make noise with.
Yeah, there's a plan. Like, I started jamming with them and they're cool, but like there's one thing that I want to build, but then I started getting obsessed by the Game Boy Mega Machine, so they kind of took a backseat. Because I only got these in the last, like, was it 9 months or so? I only started buying them in the
But it's an actual wall of, what even colour is that? Is that seafoam green?
It's beautiful.
It is
like seafoam green. I actually found, see that one there? That's one that I built, so I had to find the colour.
Oh, no way, you had to actually make.
Yeah.
Ah.
But it's nearly there. It's a similar colour, but it's almost the closest,
like, enamel. As well, even if it is a metal plate, it almost has that feel of like Bakelite and
totally
proper science.
Totally. Definitely. And the funny thing is the colour of these Brühl and Cures, the reason that they're that colour is because of a surplus of that paint left over after the war.
No way.
Yeah. True story.
Blooming Germans and their efficiency. Danish. Oh, they Danish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They look German, but I trust you. They're Danish, obviously.
Sorry, Germany.
Yeah.
I apologise. I think because Heinbach, another YouTuber, guys, uses a lot of these, so I just assume they're German.
Yeah, yeah.
He's German.
He's German. He's very German.
Polite German. But he wears Bill Cosby sweaters, and it makes me uncomfortable.
What's the Bill? Is that the
It's not a turtleneck. I think it's just a tight patterned.
He does have turtlenecks, though. Very bad.
Does he have turtlenecks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very German. There's a video I did with him, and a picture of him and the guy who also lives in Berlin. He's a native instrument guy, and they were both, like, he's the native instrument guy's taller, but they had a black turtleneck. I think they might have had necklaces on and also glasses. Not realising that, you know, they were...
Yeah, yeah.
You know... Doppelgangers.
Just style. It's
a Berlin style. Get the Berlin look, darling.
Okay, so let's talk about money.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the bad way. Not in the boring way.
Yeah.
you, modular synths, we've talked about briefly. For me personally, the reason I don't get into modular is the cost.
And yeah.
There's a little bit of a hipstery, wankery thing associated with it. Like
definitely people, a wankery thing, yeah.
Oh, look at all my gear. I've got all this great gear. And it's,
rubbing the legs. Oh, yeah.
I've got a friend, he's got a suitcase, it can play two notes at once. It cost him £2,000 in total. And it's like, but I can make those notes.
Yeah.
Your modular wall, you've not spent... Well, you've probably spent...
I probably have.
You've made everything.
Yeah, the initial conception was basically because I enjoy building things, but Eurorack and stuff's bloody expensive. You might see some Eurorack down there. And like over the time, I have half of them, I don't know why... I just ended up getting some for...
You probably got some through the YouTube thing. Like
actually, that's another...
Views and...
One of my aims initially when I was like, if I do YouTube videos about Eurorack synthesizers, maybe I'll get sent some.
Maybe I'll get given some.
I was, you know, it's just skin. And then luckily I did some for Bifaco and I did a video for him and in return got some free synths. I just felt like a good idea to kind of do, but for the building synthesizers, it was kind of from the fact that it's all just so bleeding expensive, you know, and it's not exactly going to take over. Well, it has taken over my whole, you know, I can make a song out of it all now, but it's like initially you're not going to have a whole song. You could just use Logic or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a strange concept to get into, but I like building's just kind of a cost cutting. Saving thing because even the Eurorack, the costs in Eurorack and stuff like that is, it's not usually the parts, it's not usually the labour a bit, but it's all the costs on top, like the VAT and the income taxes and all of that stuff that are involved with purchasing that kind of thing.
And the people who make it should get paid. I'm not suggesting that people are overpricing what they're making. It's just that thing of like... for some reason, people get this vibe that, well, I've spent so much money, this is inherently better.
Oh, yeah. And that's like, dangerous.
Like, yeah, no, but I can download a free VST
of
shitty synths and make music
that just probably is better.
Good. Like, people have bought a lot of records from me in my time, and a vast majority of the sounds would have been free VSTs and stuff. Mm. Like, sometimes it was just like... Before I bought a proper sound card, it was like, well, I can't record this thing.
Yeah.
Is there a fake version that I can grab? And, like, there's a company called TAL who make a shit SH-101.
Oh,
they make
a
Juno. The Juno vaguely sounds like a Juno.
The Juno app plugin was all I used before I had any synths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, you can get that stuff for free or really cheap. And it's like, ultimately, the gear doesn't matter.
Mm.
And I get frustrated with modular people when they get very excited about it.
Yeah.
But that's why your wall makes me feel good, knowing that you've built these things for more than some mysterious quest for a sound. There's like the art of building it is part of it, but also the fact that you're doing it because you didn't have the money.
Because it started off from that, yeah.
I don't know why I like it when people make... In a sense,
funny
because it's not a shortcut because you haven't got the money. It's quite a long cut. They're not like easy. Just throw a bit together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm taking the labor away from the other people that instead of buying it and doing that myself. So it's time over dosh. But the other thing I see is a bonus of that is you learn a hell of a lot of stuff, and it changes the way you think about music as well and stuff like that. Like. A lot of it is, I always find that people like having things, like I love having material things. People say material love is bad, but I'm all for it because it's just these things, but I don't know whether I like them for the same reason that most people like them. I'd like the object is nice, but it's the more the feeling of what has happened with it, secondhand things. I really don't like new things. I struggle with it.
There's a history. There's...
And it works with your imagination. It's that feeling, the feeling that you have that kind of makes you want to make music differently or more.
Yeah.
It depends. It's not about what it is. It's about how it works with your head. Like, I've made songs on, like, Logic since I was 13, and stuff. And at some point, it gets a bit stale.
Yeah.
It got a bit stale, and I was like, oh, I want to get things from outside and bring it in, you know, and then that kind of thing. And like, whenever I was using that Juno plugin, I was just dreaming of having a Juno.
Yeah.
And when I actually got the Juno, it sounded worse than the plugin. like, it was so funny. Yeah.
Juno 60, talking about.
That was a Juno 6.
Six, so yeah. Without, you couldn't save your sound, so it didn't have any patch memory.
No,
yeah, but, so the 60 only has just the memory.
Yeah, it's got the added memory, but it's funny because, like, yeah, like, I remembered first when I got it, I was, like, being a bit disappointed because I wanted it to sound better than the plugin, but it sounded worse.
Yeah.
In a different way. I just couldn't make it fit in any of the recordings as well as I could make the plugin fit.
Mm.
So, there we go.
But that's the thing. I think, like, when people see your videos, you've got this shit ton of kit. What was that noise then? Was that my ear? I think my own ear clicked and I thought it was the recording.
Oh, I completely forgot you've got ear plug in.
I got a little
ear. So you're listening to see if there's any
I don't know why. I don't even know if I'm listening. I think it's their comfort now.
Oh, yeah.
For the, so I look like I'm a professional in some way.
Hello?
Yes, 1-2, 1-2. I don't even know what I was saying. I've got very distracted. Let's see if there's actual questions here. I didn't actually finish the question we started 3 to 4 hours ago.
Was it because of the when I accidentally did a very bad Dublin accent?
Maybe.
Because sidetracked.
I think it is a very distracting room. I've not noticed this before. When we did the DJ Yoda podcast, I was constantly distracted by... So your wall of test equipment... He has a wall of cereal from around the world.
Okay.
So, yeah. Oh, so it's...
Cereal from around the world. That's pretty cool.
Especially like limited edition stuff and all that.
Wow.
Apparently, my left ear doesn't work because this sounds dramatically different now.
Yeah. That's funny. You know when you said cereal from around the world? Like, you know when your image suddenly changes in your brain? Like, you said cereal and I saw just a massive... You know the wall with all the maps in your newspapers of serial killers? Like a serial killer wall. I was like, okay, that sounds quite fun. Like, oh yeah, we're getting this guy next.
No, we're talking Captain Crunch. We can kill Captain Crunch if we have to. But, of all your builds, what was the most fun? So, like, Furby organ, flamethrower organ... we talked about the bike synths.
The most fun building.
You can have fun, you can have proud of, you can have maybe. Most useful, anything.
The hindsight's always different because when you're feeling in the time, like you're usually like, fuck something. Because you don't actually know what it's like afterwards. So you're looking back with like rose tinted glasses. But,
yeah, also hindsight is affected by how much work you put in. So like how proud of yourself for like learning that thing that you didn't know before can affect the way you look at a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've got songs where I know they're awful, but because that was the song I worked out X, Y, or Z on, it's like, yeah, that's great all the time.
Rhymed orange with storage container.
Borange. So, yeah, out of them, what was the least waste of time?
Oh, God. I don't know. That's a really difficult question because I just... I kind of build them and then have my laugh. Like there's a feeling that you get to a certain checkpoint, like in Crash Bandicoot, you get the checkpoint and you're like, there's a real feeling of like, whoa, this is gonna make me smile. And then you smile for a while and then it fades away and then you're thoroughly depressed again. And then like you go back to it and then I don't really, and then the feeling from kind of disappears. But I don't know. Looking back, it's difficult to say. No, because the achievement kind of thing, probably the flamethrower organ, which is in there, is pretty awful now. It slowly went out of tune the more it got used.
Because of the heat going through the pipes.
Yeah, well, the heat, basically my solution for making the reed inside the pipe.
Yeah.
It was a fudge ton of plaster of Paris.
On the way.
Because of the heat thing. The plaster of Paris kind of was still slightly wet even a month or so later and it was cracking and changing the tune. So,
wow.
And so if I want to use that again, I kind of really need to some sort of metal thing to plop in there, but I just wasn't good enough to do that.
Yeah.
And I was quite proud of that. I really like the Henry the Hoover flamethrower and also the flamethrower's module. I just like fire.
The danger though with it, so
yeah, maybe the danger's it.
it was a remote controlled Henry the Hoover.
Yeah.
And the amount of times you spin in the video, you spin it towards you.
Yeah.
And maybe it's perspective on the camera or whatever.
It was
and
close.
Just like, geez, he's going to kill himself. He's going to kill. His legs are going up.
Yeah, it was really close, actually. Like, I think we...
look, man, flamey legs.
The lens kind of got it
on
the camera. And I'm really sad. I've burnt my favourite Furby. I just put the Furby a little bit further back. And I got given it by a fan, and it's my favourite Furby, and I singed it. I didn't realise it was just a high and my thing. I was like, this is bloody awesome. And then look around, it's like, no, Charlie, no. And it's like, and what's that thing that Napoleon was? It's like, kiss me. Is that what? Who said kiss me? Admiral Nelson, is it? You know when he died?
Kiss me, Harvey.
Kiss me, Harvey. Yeah, yeah. I was like, that's a bit odd. When I was a kid, kiss it didn't me. Make sense. But yeah, you know, that's what the Furby said. And I was like, shut her eyes.
So how many times have you nearly badly injured yourself doing this?
I'm really careful, actually. I don't think I have done it yet. Touch wood.
But the microwave, you nearly killed yourself with your necklace.
Yeah, but it might not have. Yeah, but I took that off before I realised. Yeah, actually. It's lots of times that... But, you know, you drive every day and you...
Yeah, true. But I don't drive with my car on fire.
Yeah, you don't drive with your car on fire. That's true. Like... the fire, I don't think is that bad because initially within the inherent design of Henry the Hoover, he runs out after blowing his load for about 25 seconds. So it's
he's not a permanent
thing.
He's not, okay.
Yeah, and so the flamethrower module, I didn't have that hooked up. It probably would fire for about 20 seconds overall. But the flamethrower organ, it's funny. Like annoyingly, I put in a safety measure the day before I shot the video, and it was like this thing that if you pulled out the cord from it, it would shut the gas off to the pipe. But in doing that, it kind of made it really like crap. So it didn't let enough pressure of the air through, so I couldn't play enough notes. So what I ended up doing was when I was at the shoot, I kind of pulled it apart, popped a pipe in with gaffer tape.
And then
put a wet paper towel over that. Oh no, wet wooden, like soggy towel, and didn't tell anyone. And the funny, it's like, yeah.
Guys, we might die. I'm not going to tell you though.
That was a sketchy one. And the dangers, I think the most dangerous are probably the high voltage ones, the Jacob's Ladder ones.
Yeah.
But still got to be... You forget halfway through that they're high voltage.
because it's been...
And luckily, that could probably kill you if you touch it with both arms because it goes straight through your heart.
Mm.
You'll be like, ooh, dead.
Well, at least it would be quick, eh?
Yeah, maybe. You've seen Green Mile. I've seen Green Mile. We know it's not that quick.
True. Like, if you hadn't got into music, maybe you'd be making suicide booths.
Suicide boats? Booths. Booths. You know the
Why did you kill yourself on a boat?
Well, maybe somebody wants to. The funny thing is.
Who's going
to
bring the boat back?
Who brings it? Well, that's the whole thing. You set it on fire. It's like a Viking burial, but all in one.
Oh, nice. And then you just sail off the edge of the earth.
But there's a big white ice wall, so I don't know how it'd work.
Maybe there's a pulley system.
Maybe there's a hole buried.
Yeah, maybe the dragons there lift you up and then throw you into space.
That's the question. What with global warming, what's going to happen to the massive ice walls?
They're going to melt.
And then we get through to the other bit of Colin McRae Rally.
I think so, yeah. But that's why the sea's not going to rise, because it's all going to fall off the edge.
Yeah!
Perfect.
Oh, man.
So we need to actually make it worse. Let's get some carbon going.
Yes.
We need a carbon-generating synth to save the Earth.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm actually, like, I've been thinking a lot recently how to, like, be inventive in musical, but also... try and accidentally invent something that is, you know, some sort of sustainable thing. I've been toying with a lot of ideas of, like, things, but obviously, you know, you don't want to get... Like, one day, I hope my obsession will just get in some sort
You'll
of renewable...
stumble into...
A renewable source or something.
A renewable source.
Just some weird, like, idea that could build into it or help towards it all.
As a kid, I used to think about it like you know, wind turbines.
Yeah.
Turbines. Like, why haven't we got, like, weird mini turbines all over our houses?
Yeah.
So, like, every door, surely there's some energy being generated every time you open a door.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, your taps. Why is there not a thing spinning in front of your tap?
That is such a good music video, isn't it? Just everywhere. It's just. I always feel that gyms are such a waste.
I know. Why are they not powering themselves?
I know, but why are they pumping all of the electricity in their air conditioning and everything, and it's not giving anything back?
It's bizarre.
It's but at least it's starting to, like, the braking in electric cars charges and stuff.
It
and
does charge the car,
which is sort of a beginning of that idea, but, you know, it probably needs to be done more. But the other thing that I struggle with is all of this is using new things. And the problem with using new things is you've got to manufacture these things.
Yeah, like, if you are buying new stuff, there's a huge cost. And a lot of what is in new things isn't reusable.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to, like an older synth, so much of what that was built out of is A, replaceable.
Yeah.
And B, you could melt down the metal or whatever. You know, there's still some recyclable nature to it.
But yeah.
Like a lot of stuff we buy now,
some of it's replaceable and repairable, but there's a lot more skill involved in repairing things. You can't just like open it up and just look around and kind of figure it out. Like, in order to change a chip, you need to kind of like use a hot air gun and a pair of pliers, boop, pop the new one in. It's actually questionably easier.
Yeah.
But it takes a bit more skill. But new cars, an impossible. But building new electric cars instead of taking old cars and making them electric, surely that would use less
It makes
energy.
More sense to make that, in my mind, to make old cars electric rather than to be building new ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to work out how to do that with I've got a VW Scirocco outside. It's like 1989, and it's a very economical car, actually. I was really surprised when I drove it, like, just probably like maybe 45 to the gallon.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm making it up.
I don't have a clue what mine does. I don't even know how many gallons it holds.
Gallons? Yeah. But but it's very expensive to convert it to electric. I've been looking into it. It's about 15 grand. I was emailing some companies to try and do videos on it, to try and do across...
15 grand?
But it'll cost me about 15 grand to get about 250 mile range out of it.
Yeah.
With the batteries, the motor and the whatnot.
Yeah, because like when you hear people like say, 250 mile range doesn't actually sound that big, but that's me to you. You're on the East Coast, I'm in the middle.
And it could be charging now, I guess.
And it would be charging now.
I don't know how long they take to charge either.
I could get here and back on that.
Potentially.
It's like 100 miles, as long as I don't take too many detours around the services.
Yeah, well, but the services, you kind of pop it on charge, but I don't know how long it takes to...
You hope. Unless someone gets there first.
Yeah. And the other thing is the electricity. Like, how does that... Like, that's a lot of production for the electricity as well. Is that...
I find electricity fascinating as well, because, like, we haven't really... So the national grid, the reason it can overload as such is because there's a dude whose job it is to predict when we're going to need electricity.
Yeah.
They have to make the right amount of electricity.
Yeah.
Like, everything we don't use, every millisecond, is just getting fired into the earth, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not getting stored anywhere.
That's mad, isn't it? Yeah, that's a good point, though.
It just gets used and just gets grounded, I suppose.
Predictor. Yeah, yeah, it just
which
yeah,
is bizarre.
Even that, it's weird. I'll get a lot of comments about, like, oh, your electricity bill must be crazy and stuff, but it's actually not at all, because, as you can see, most of the time, everything's off. I'm actually thinking of doing a video soon about, like, how much current these things use, but I can guarantee that whole wall, except for the computer over there, uses less power than a TV.
Wait, there's a computer over there?
Yeah, there's like in that...
Oh, a little screen!
Little computer module. I cover that up when I do the videos, but like basically when I need to record stems and stuff.
No way!
I set record on that.
Huh!
Yeah.
Listeners, I'm actually really impressed. It's so subtle.
And that's another thing, like, you met, like, these chairs are here to bring in, because I try not to sit down here.
Yeah.
There was this guy that was did a song, I'm trying to remember what his name was, did songwriting for, he's a pop punk songwriter or stuff, but somebody was telling me about when they go to a writing session of his, there's no seats.
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody goes on the phones, and there's no seats, nobody gets all slumpy and stuff, and tired and stuff. They write the song, and then bugger off. It's like, oh, that's good. So I tried not sitting down and like
just
feel like getting stuff done, but it does get a bit uncomfortable trying to work in that little screen.
Yeah, I can imagine. It is dinky, but it's also fascinatingly, I didn't even notice it.
Mm.
Well, that was great, wasn't it? Lovely chat there. Thank you again, Sam, for coming on and chatting with me and letting me into your your private sanctum, your fortress of solitude. Genuinely appreciate it. It was a lovely chat. Sam's a very, I don't want to use the word driven. Driven feels wrong. It feels more, driven feels cynical. Like, focused maybe. But that doesn't feel right. It's hard to explain. Someone whose distractions are his work. And his work is his pleasure, maybe. I don't know. I'm just rambling. This is the end bit. That chat weirdly got me thinking about the GDC talk Mick Gordon gave. Mick Gordon's the guy who did the Doom 2016 soundtrack, amongst others. And that was all about changing his process. And Sam touches on that as well, about how we're not looking to find new sounds. We're just looking at new ways of getting those sounds out of our bodies, which might actually be pretty helpful for me to get past the old creative cul-de-sac I've got myself into recently, RentQuest being a fucking dickhead and getting in my way doesn't help. But you know, ideas are percolating. If you enjoyed that, don't forget to check part two, and don't forget to go to patreon.com/danlasac, danlasac.bandcamp.com, lookmumnocomputer.com. Go check all those things out. Subscribe, do the thing, do that, do this. Have you cleaned your room? Tidy. Have you done the laundry this week? Do get on that. Knock round for your neighbours, see if they need any shopping doing. Maybe whitewash that fence. I don't know what you people do, but get on it, get it done. Some of that benefits me, so you should be doing it. And come back for part two, which is probably already up, so just look for it. Google it, he said. Google it! And you will hear from me shortly.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.